Mr. Smart, for allowing us to be able to be back here this year for this meeting. And certainly we have enjoyed ourselves. Not very many places at all. There's just been a few places in the 18 years of evangelism where I've had to generate my own liberty. But I'm thankful when I'm in a place where that liberty is given, and I understand as a guest preacher, when I have liberty behind another man's pulpit, it's because you've got a faithful man of God that stands behind this pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and preaches the Word of God, and therefore it gives guest preachers liberty to preach. And so I've enjoyed the good liberty to preach, enjoyed the good meals and the good fellowship, and just enjoyed being with you people this week. And you pray for us as a preacher, and Brother Davis will be traveling tonight home, then Nikita and I, and I'm glad to have Nikita with me in the service tonight. And we'll be traveling back in the morning. Galatians chapter number 6, and it's always my desire when I open up the Word of God to be a help to God's people, but if tonight's message would fall under a category, it would fall under the category of a help message. And it's one of those type messages that perhaps there's somebody or a few somebodies tonight that it's exactly what you need as far as an answer to get to the next step that preacher was talking about last night. Maybe you're carrying a burden. Maybe you came tonight to the church house and you had a Bible tucked under your arm and somehow you mustered a smile on your face, but when you leave this place in a little while, you're facing a real difficulty of life. So tonight it might be a help to you through what you're going through tonight. But maybe for many of us tonight, everything's going hunky-dory right now in your life. But I promise you, my dear friend, not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but it's one of those type messages. You might not need it right now, but you will need it in the future. And I want to talk to us about bearing the burdens of life. And all of us go through burdens, and they come in different shapes, forms, and sizes, but all of us go through burdens. And I remember it's probably been a couple of years ago now, and I was with preacher in a meeting in Michigan, in the state of Michigan. And I just gone through probably the most difficult time in life and ministry when both parents, and I know that this church prayed for my mom and dad because it's so close by to Memphis during that time. And both mom and dad were in the hospital at the same time. Mom was on the fourth floor in ICU. Dad was on the seventh floor, and just a total of 7 weeks during that time. And if you've ever been at the bedside of a dying loved one, you know how it's a roller coaster of a ride. One moment you get some great news from the doctor, and the next moment you think that they're knocking on death's door. And boy, it's just a roller coaster of a ride. And didn't have to cancel all the meetings during that time, but boy, canceled a few. And just got to the place, just being transparent with you tonight, I felt so anemic when it came to Christianity and spirituality. I'd read the Bible and it just was black words on white paper. I'd pray and it didn't even seem like my prayers even got past the ceiling. And I remember my sister, she came in from Chattanooga, and boy, Lord really used her to be a blessing to me during that time. She said, Chris, she said, I'm going to be there with Mama and Daddy. She said, why don't you just go and travel and preach? And it just so happened to be in a meeting like this with preacher in the state of Michigan. And as we finished that meeting, we began to drive home through the night, and I began to share my heart with them. And he said, Brother Dallas, he said, I'm not belittling the difficulties that you're going through. He said, I know they're real. They're real to your mom and dad. They're real to you. He said, but I don't know much about weightlifting. But I do know this, a weightlifter does not get their strength outside the gym. They get their strength inside the gym. And he said, Brother Dallas, a Christian is not going to get their strength outside the church. They're going to get their strength inside the church. And my dear friend, can I say tonight, it didn't change the fact that mom and dad were still going through health difficulties, but I couldn't do anything for them physically. And boy, we just began to get back on the road and get back traveling. And then I will say this, I get my strength from the Word of God and spending time with God in prayer, but I get my strength also around the family of God at the house of God. Amen. And so I want to help us tonight. I won't be very long. I'll get right out of the way. Galatians chapter number 6, let's look at a few verses here. Verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Now I want to focus on verse number 4 and 5 mostly tonight. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And again, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for Maranatha Baptist Church, dear God. And Lord, we ask you tonight that you would do a work that only you can do. I pray that you'd be with Brother Davis as he stands to preach to the young people tonight. Be with Preacher as he would preach here in just a few minutes. Dear God, for these next few minutes, I pray, Lord, that I'd bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, it's my desire to be a help with the Word of God tonight to God's people. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd grant that request. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. There's a very familiar children's book, and it's entitled Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It's a book about a little boy named Alexander who had just one of those days. It was a day when nothing went right and everything went wrong. Alexander had back-to-back disappointments during this day. It was a day with just one continuous downer after the other. Take, for example, when he woke up in the morning, he said, "I went to sleep with gum in my mouth. Now there's gum in my hair. When I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was still running, and I could tell that it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. After a terrible day at school, a horrible day to the dentist, a visit to the dentist, and a no good stop at the shoe store, Alexander then slumped in the chair at supper, and his troubles continued. There were lima beans for supper, and I hate lima beans," he said. "There was kissing on TV, and I absolutely hate kissing. My bath was too hot, and I got soap in my eyes, and my marble went down the drain. I had to wear my railroad pajamas, and I hate my railroad pajamas. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow that he said I could sleep with. The Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. And now the dog wants to sleep with Anthony and not with me. And it's just been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day." And the truth of the matter is that every one of us either have had or we will eventually have one of those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. There are days when it seemed like things would have been a whole lot better if we would have just simply stayed in bed. There are times when our backs are against the wall and we don't know what to do. I like what one commentator said. He said, "I've had my troubles and my trials, and the Lord has given me both vinegar and honey, but he's given me vinegar with a teaspoon and honey with a ladle." And the reality is there's times that you and I will go through the difficulties of life that the devil will plant the seed in our mind that the bad outweighs the good. But dear child of God, if you and I will remember that we're a blood-bought child of God and the difficulties that we go through in this life, they're just temporary, but thank God we're going to our eternal home one day. Well, there'll be no more troubles, trials, or tribulations. And tonight, for just the next few minutes, I want to see the answer book called the Bible and what it gives you you and I to get through the burdens of life. Can I say, first of all, big point number one, there are burdens to be cast. There are burdens to be cast. The Bible has much to say about the burdens that you and I will face in our life. The Bible instructs us what to do with these burdens. We're often reminded throughout the Word of God that we are to cast these burdens. Can I say, first of all, under casting our burdens, the Bible gives us clear-cut instruction that we are to carry those burdens to the Lord. You might be here tonight and it seems like the entire weight of the world is upon your shoulders. You may be thinking, what am I going to do and how am I going to get through these burdens of life? Well, can I give us what the Lord says tonight? He says, just carry that burden to Him. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you and I a royal invitation about the burdens of life. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. One preacher said it like this, about burdens. He said, some people break down, some people break out, and some people break through. May I say tonight, you may be facing a burden of life tonight. My dear friend, you don't have to break down, you don't have to break out, but praise God, you and I can break through with the help of the Lord when it comes to the burdens of life. I think of an article that I read years ago. And it told of a newspaper reporter who was seeking a story about a famous surgeon who was performing a state-of-the-art operation for the first time. That reporter was invited by the surgeon to go into the operating room and watch the operation. And when the surgeon was finished scrubbing up and a nurse had prepared him for surgery, he walked over to the side of the room. He bowed his head in prayer. The reporter could not believe what he had witnessed. And when the doctor was finished praying, the reporter asked him, do you always pray before every operation? With a smile, the surgeon said, always, because I never know what trouble I'm going to run into and when I will have to turn the scalpel over to the great physician and bid him to carry on. He went on to say, many times in my surgery, when I was at the end of my human ability, God took over where I had left off. And my dear friend, when you and I go through the burdens of life, we can say with the songwriter, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I'm reminded of that blessed promise in the Word of God where it says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. About 70% of the time, Nikita will take me to the airport there in Lexington, and I'll fly somewhere across the country to preach the Word of God. Unless it's before 7 o'clock in the morning, and then she always says one word, Uber, amen. But anyhow, she'll drop me off at the airport, and I'll leave her in Lexington, and I'll go fly somewhere. You understand, I may leave her in Lexington, but I guarantee you this, I don't forget her, amen. But my dear friend, my Bible tells me that God's not going to do either one. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. I'm glad He's there every step of the way. I'm glad He's there in the fire, just ask the Hebrew boys. I'm glad He's there in the fear, ask the disciples as they go through the storm. I'm glad He's there in the famine, ask the feeding of the 5,000. I'm glad He's there in the fellowship, just ask Paul in the Roman jail cell. My dear friend, we can carry our burdens to the Lord. Not only are we to carry our burdens to the Lord, but back to the main point, we are to cast our burdens on the Lord. In Psalm 55, verse number 22, the Bible, David reminds us, saying, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And possibly the greatest words that's ever been penned on the subject of burdens are found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, that says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That word casting is a word found only twice in the New Testament. We find it in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. We also find it in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 35, where it speaks of the garments that were cast upon the back of the colt. That word literally means to throw upon. The idea is that we are to throw, or we're to cast our burden upon the Lord, and at times let the Lord carry our load. My dear friend, we have the right and we are invited to cast our burdens on the Lord, because my dear friend, He careth for us. I love that story behind the great hymn, Does Jesus Care? How many of you know that song, Does Jesus Care? It was written by a Methodist preacher named Frank Graff. And he was often referred to as a spiritual optimist. And he earned the nickname the Sunshine Minister because of his outwardly cheery disposition and his winsome personality. And although he authored more than 200 hymns, none have meant as much to believers as the song, Does Jesus Care? And it was a song born out of a time of despondency, doubt, and physical agony in his life. And during this time, he even doubted his faith that he had long believed, practiced, and preached. And he was left to ask the question, does Jesus care? And he put it in verse form. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? For months he had no real answer to that question, does Jesus care? Then one day he found himself reading in 1 Peter chapter 5. And there was a phrase in verse number 7 that leaped off the page at him. And it was that phrase, He careth for you. And the preacher said it was then that he received an answer to his question, does Jesus care? And he expressed it in song by saying, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I read a statement some time ago now, and I'm thankful for the statement. It said this, it said, for every excuse that I have given God not to love me, I never changed His mind one time. And my dear friend, you and I may go through the burdens of life, and it seems like sometimes family and friends and society doesn't care, but I praise God tonight, there's never a time where God does not care. Amen. Can I say we are to cast our burdens upon the Lord? I've got a big point number two, but I really want to get to point number three. But big point number two is that there are burdens that others will carry that you and I can help comfort them through those burdens. And it talks about one that has fallen into sin. And my dear friend, may we all take heed lest we fall. And many people say, I don't have a responsibility to that one that has fallen in sin. But Paul reminds us, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen. And it's our responsibility to help not only reconcile, but also restore that fallen sinner. And then point number three, can I say, there are burdens to be cast to the Lord. But number three, and I'm not contradicting myself, and the Bible dead sure is not contradicting itself, but just listen to me out. Number three, there are burdens to be carried alone. There are burdens to be carried alone. First of all, look at verse number four. The Bible says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. There's the reason for burdens that we must purposefully find. And one of the ways in which God enhances, enriches, and enlarges our faith is through the burdens of life. Those burdens may come in a variety of shapes and sizes and forms. But my dear friend, they can become valuable experiences in our walk with the Lord. I think of a biologist who told of how he watched an ant carrying straw, which was a large burden for it to carry. And that ant came to a crack in the earth, which was too far for it to cross. And it stood for a long time pondering the situation. And then the ant put the straw over the crack, and it walked over the crack. And there are times when the burdens of life, they become hard and they become heavy. And like that little ant, we oftentimes come to cracks that are almost insurmountable. But my dear friend, that burden can become a bridge for spiritual growth if we endeavor to allow God to use it in our life. And the truth of the matter is that many of the burdens that you and I face, they're not meant to break us, but they're meant to bless us. Even the psalmist said that it was good that I was afflicted, that I may draw nigh to God. And my dear friend, the reality is if you and I, as God's children, we never carried the burdens of life, we would be the most spoiled people on the face of the earth. My dear friend, there are times when God's people, they carry the burdens of life because of sin, but that's not always the case, and a lot of times it's not the case. Sometimes God ordains you and I to go through those burdens of life, not to quit, not to give up, not to throw in the towel, but to get through those burdens so we can help somebody else down the road that carries the same burden that we do. So there are there's the reason for burdens that we must purposely find. And then lastly, we see the responsibility of burdens that we must personally face. God often calls on us to bear particular burdens. These are burdens that cannot be shared with another. They can only be shouldered by us. I'm sure that most of us tonight, if not all of us, have heard the old expression, all of us have our own cross to bear. That's the idea of verse number 5 where it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. We each have burdens that only you and I can bear, and God calls on us to bear them. For example, every individual must bear the burden of salvation because nobody can be saved for you. Now we understand that Jesus Christ, He bore the payment of our salvation on His back when He died on the cross of Calvary for our sin. But my dear friend, that night that I got saved by the grace of God, I was living in that halfway house, and the soul winner that was sharing the gospel with me, he looked outside the glass of that door and he said, Chris, he said, you see your mom and your two sisters sitting out there in church? I said, yes, sir. He said, we've talked to your mom and your two sisters and they know Christ as their Savior. They know when they die, they're going to heaven. And he said, but Chris, just because your mom and your two sisters know Christ as their Savior and heaven is their home doesn't mean that you're going to get a free ride into heaven. He said, you individually have to come to God in your heart realizing you're a sinner destined to a place called hell, and the only hope for you to escape the fires of hell is not the baptismal pool, not the church membership, not the good outweighing the bad, not the longevity of sobriety, but the only way to escape the fires of hell is by putting your faith and trust in the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Everybody must come to Jesus individually. Can I say we must bear the burden of service because nobody can serve God for us. We must bear the burden of surrender because nobody can surrender to God for us. An anonymous poet wrote these words, I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while God counted losses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store. But He sized me up by the burdens that I bore. I think of Elizabeth Elliot, that wonderful Christian author and teacher. And she was once the wife of Jim Elliot, who many of you might remember as the missionary martyred by the Aka Indians in 1956. And years after his death, she married a man by the name of Addison Leach. And shortly after she married Addison Leach, he was diagnosed with having two entirely distinct and unique types of unrelated cancer. It was excruciating and very painful. Literally, day and night, Elizabeth Elliot had to care for her dying husband. She said that she used to pray that God would give her the strength to get through the week. Then it got so hard that all she could pray for was that God would give her the strength to get through the day. However, things became so hard that she used to pray that God would just give her the strength to get through the hour, because she said at 9 o'clock it was unbearable to think how she would make it until 10 o'clock. She later testified that it was only through that experience that she fully grasped the truth that God's grace was sufficient for her. And dear child of God, I would have loved to have been able to stand before you tonight and tell you your life as a Christian will be all honey and no bees, all flowers and no trees. But if I told you that, I'd not only do you an injustice, but I'd be lying to you. But I can tell you tonight that God's grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. And Lord, we understand tonight, Lord, from the word of God, Lord, that we will all carry burdens. But Lord, I'm thankful at times we don't have to carry those burdens alone. I'm thankful that we can carry those burdens to you. We can cast those burdens upon you. And Lord, I'm thankful that your love for us, it never changes. And I'm thankful that you're there every step of the way. I pray that I was a help in this service tonight. I pray that for the remainder of it, and especially the preaching of the word of God. Bless my preacher as he would come here in just a few minutes to preach the word of God. And we'll thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen.